Everybody. So I get the opportunity just to kind of share a couple of quick thoughts with you this morning to close out our spiritual discipline series. This is kind of our last Sunday for that. And so what I thought I would do is we're going to just do a real quick recap over the entire series and kind of look at some of those individual spiritual disciplines that we have been highlighting. And before we do, I thought I would ask you guys just real quick to give me what was your favorite topic or what was your favorite spiritual discipline that we talked about and why. So let's just real quick hear from some of you guys on what was one of your favorite ones that we talked on and just a real quick sentence on why. Yeah, I didn't really like them that much either. Boring. A quick refresher. That is a great idea. Excellent. We talked about Bible meditation, prayer, fasting, listening, community, serving, and rest. And if you want to say, hey, let's hold off that question till the end after we review them, that's fine too. Yeah. Great. Yeah, the discipline of community, being together, living life together. Great. What else? Just a couple real quick. Okay. Yep. And we'll talk about that one here in just a few minutes as well. That's good. One more. Rest, yeah. It's great. It's great. We're going to highlight some of these. And again, this is just going to be a really quick, I'm going to run through these, kind of give you one or two sentences on each one here in just a few minutes. And I would encourage you, as we kind of recap, maybe to actually have some notes that you want to jot some of these things down as kind of a reminder as we kind of look at all of them in one package, maybe your phone, your notes app open, or something like that. But where I thought that we would start this real quick is a way to think about spiritual disciplines. I'm going to have Ethan throw this up on the screen, this next slide. I think it's a helpful way to think about spiritual disciplines as practicing the presence of God. When we think about spiritual disciplines, what are those things that we need to be doing regularly? What is it that we're doing by actually doing some of those things? Meditating on scripture, fasting, prayer, all those things. What are we doing in those? We are practicing the presence of God. So I was thinking about this week, that each one of us in here are extremely different. Every one of us are coming from different backgrounds. We're wired differently. We have different personalities. We love different things. And to the degree that we love those different things, we will work to get them. We will work to get those things to where we can experience them more. So we each love different things. We're wired in different ways. And we're going to work, though, whatever it is that we love, we're going to do things to put those things that we love out in front of us, to be able to experience them more. There are things that we do to keep the things that we love to do in front of us regularly. And so some of these things that we do to keep the things we love in front of us are really hard work. It's not always easy to keep the things that we love in front of us, like to keep them close to us. And it takes hard work. Some of them require a great deal of discipline. But we work hard to experience that great and overwhelming joy of being able to have the thing that we love close to us. Let me give you a couple examples in case it's a little confusing yet. Let's flesh this out a little bit. Some of you in here how do I label you? Some of you in here, I would call grass geeks. Grass geeks. How many of you in here love a really great lawn? Okay. Okay. See, listen. Listen, I knew this was going to go somewhere. I'm telling you. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, grass geek. Okay? Right here. All right. All right. So, we've got one taker. Anyone else in the room, you work at your lawn pretty rigorously? Okay? Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't, but I pay someone to do that. How many of you pay someone to do that? Okay? Not okay, I bet a few of you do. There are lots of people in our society that love a great lawn, okay? I love a great lawn as well. I just don't do anything to get that, okay? It is terrible and disgusting. Your feet get caught in the weeds. I mean, it is bad. But there are people that want one type of grass in their lawn. They want it super green, and they're going to do things to get that, okay? So you were volunteered. So thank you for being volunteered to help us this morning, okay? And maybe there's someone else in here that would help us with this as well. There are things that I'm guessing you all do if you're a grass geek and you really want a great lawn that you do regularly. I bet it's hard work. Would you say it's hard work to keep that lawn the way that you want it? Okay, there are things that you probably do daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. Maybe you guys that have said that's me. What are some of those things that you do regularly that are hard work to get the lawn that you want? What's that? Okay, it needs to be mowed regularly. What else? Water it. How often? Twice a week. Okay. Fertilize it. Okay. How often? Once a quarter. Okay. Starting to see these line up a little bit. Like they're actually doing things at different times, pretty regularly. What else? Aerate it. Okay. I think aerate it means you poke holes in the ground. Is that right? That's why I have weeds, right? Yeah. Okay. So there are daily, weekly, monthly, yearly rhythms to get that lawn the way that you want it. Does that involve hard work? In fact, sometimes I was talking to a friend of mine this past weekend with the SOMA event that we were at, and he was like, yeah, like when it's not going right, he like wipes it clean and like starts over. What? Like grass geek, like that geek word like was highlighted for me there. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Let's do another one. Some of you in here are fitness geeks. Okay, Dave Wetzel, thank you, yes. Mm-hmm. Other than Dave, who else in here you'd consider yourself a fitness geek? Okay, you're regularly working out, watching what you eat, whether that is for just the way that you look or it's for the health benefits, but you'd consider yourself, maybe you're a runner, an avid runner, exercise all the time. Who in here would say that to them? Not a soul? Oh, come on. What's that? They're working out. They're at home in their gym. Okay. Right. Okay. Russell, absolutely. Who else? Anyone else? Mm-hmm. I see fingers being pointed. Okay. More people are being volunteered. I love this. Okay. Okay, great. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about that. Maybe you didn't want to raise your hand. Maybe you're being volunteered. If you're a fitness geek, maybe you're a runner, maybe you exercise all the time, what are some of those things that you practice on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis? Okay, so well, marathon, so that's how many times a year does someone do a marathon normally? Once probably. I mean, sometimes people do it more. Eric does five. That would probably fall into the yearly. If you're a runner, your training, that's probably being done daily. Okay, you're keeping track, probably daily, meal to meal, over what you do. Yeah, Absolutely. That's not always easy to do. That's hard, right? That involves some discipline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To actually get the results that you want, it actually involves daily, weekly, monthly, yearly rhythms that are not easy. But if you love to exercise or rock climbing or running or lifting weights, if you love it, what do you wake up every day, even though you necessarily don't want to, you also what? You really want to. And you're going to practice things to keep that out in front of you, to keep it in front of your face. Some of you in here, okay, if no one raised their hand over this, you're all liars. Some of you who are sports geeks, if you're a sports geek, raise your hand. Thank you. Okay, there's a few more of those, all right? And I think a lot of people kept their hands down, okay? You're sports geeks, okay? You love to watch football, golf, baseball, whatever it is. Justin and I were talking. He loves baseball. It doesn't even matter if his team's playing. He's in. He's going to watch it. Said no one ever except for Justin. That's true, right, absolutely. If you're a sports geek, you love sports. They bring you a ton of joy. You love watching it. What are things that you regularly do to keep sports in front of you? You buy stuff? Absolutely. So you're putting the apparel on? That definitely costs you. What else? Yep. Yep. What else? You track. You're actually like following who did what? Who scored what? You're following your favorite players. You're marking your calendar. What game is when? You actually will go as far that if your team is playing and you don't get the channel, you're going to do what? You're changing your cable package. Okay? Or you're borrowing someone's password. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Some of you in here are music geeks. Okay, you grew up, you loved music. You loved singing, playing an instrument. Maybe your parents loved it for you. But you grew into loving that. How many of you in here would be someone that would be a music geek? Yeah, absolutely. So Kristen teaches piano. She has a piano studio. What are some things that for your students to help them love music and keep it out in front of them? What are some regular rhythms that you encourage them to do? Okay, so they've got games that they have to play. How often do they have to play those? Okay. Yeah, so you said two things there. So there's like these games that they need to be involved in, but then there's also lessons. And how often are the lessons normally? Once a week. Those lessons cost. They got to drive there. It takes time. Okay, encouragement. What else are they supposed to do? Besides coming to a lesson, they have to practice. How often should that be? Daily? And so if you love music, or you grow up and someone's encouraging you to love music, there are these regular rhythms that involve really hard work to get good at the piano, singing, another instrument, whatever that would be. It takes work to keep that joy out in front of you. Last one. Some of you are artist geeks. You love art. And maybe you actually love being on the artist side, that you're kind of the artist as well. If you're a painter or you're a photographer or a sculptor, I see that hand, people love that, yeah. What are some things that you have to do? How many of you in here would actually classify yourself as that, as kind of an artist geek? Yeah, a few hands? Yeah, or art consumer on the other side of that, absolutely. Maybe you're not the one doing the art, but you love the fact that someone else is doing it. You're captivated by that beauty. What are some things that you would do, whether you are the artist or the consumer of the artist? What are some regular rhythms that you do? You spend a lot of money. Right, uh-huh. You do that. You buy the paint. That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my wife, both my brother-in-laws, my mother-in-law, I mean, they're all amazing artists. And watching them is amazing, but you're not just watching them do their final piece. In fact, what they do all the time is they're just practicing. They're sketching. They're drawing all the time. They're painting. There's just these regular rhythms that it's not easy to get better. It takes a lot of work. In fact, my brother-in-law is putting a piece together. It is an enormous amount of work watching what he's doing, but it is beautiful, and he thinks it's beautiful, and so he works hard at it. Now, here's the other part. The reason I'm actually walking through all of these is because, number one, we're all wired differently, okay? We all like different things. In fact, if you're the sports geek and you're the artist geek, you think each other are geeks. Like, there's not often a lot of overlap in some of these. We're very, very different. We're wired differently in regards to what we love. But here's the point. There's two things that make us the same. Number one, no matter it is what you love, you work and you practice at keeping what you love close to you, at becoming better at it. Right? That's the first thing that makes us the same. The second thing that makes us the same is that I think there's one thing that we were all actually wired to love the same. So God made us all different to love all different kinds of things, but there's one thing wired into our bones, the fibers of our body, that's something that we all are desiring to want more, to love more, and that is the presence of God. That's God being near, communing, having communion with the almighty, infinite God of the universe. We were all wired to want and to love that. In fact, God built the earth with that in the DNA. When God shaped the earth and started putting everything in it, He built into the earth's everything the desire for God to be near. The word Emmanuel, God with us, it's how you were formed. You were made to be near God. In the Garden of Eden, God comes right after Adam and Eve are formed, and He is with them. His desire was to stay with them, to live on this earth, to be their neighbor. Yes, God wanted to be our neighbor. But let me tell you something. Sin keeps us apart from the thing that we are wired to love and to want the most. Adam and Eve's sin put this wedge in between us and God. The very thing that we were made to be near, to want, to have the presence of God, sin drove that away, and we have never, listen, mankind has never been the same. Things look the way that they look right now because God's presence is not as it was, and that is because of the sin that has driven him away. And so what has happened is that since God went back up, did not set up his dwelling yet on the earth, what God has done in his goodness and his kindness is he has given us some practices to keep God out in front of us, to keep his presence, in one sense, near. When we think of spiritual disciplines, I don't know how you were raised, but if you are anything like me, spiritual disciplines, every time I say it, I got a bad taste in my mouth. Anyone else in here like that? Maybe it's just me. That's fine. Okay. Let me tell you why. Because those spiritual disciplines were just crammed home day in and day out as just something you need to do because you're a what? Because you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you read your Bible, you pray, you fast, you do all of these things, and you're just told to practice them. But I'll tell you what, as I'm getting older, and especially through this series, it was just such a great reminder for me. Man, we are not just doing something because we're something. God, in his goodness and kindness, has given us practices that actually, that we get to kind of go into the place where the Holy Spirit plays. The Holy Spirit is like working in these areas, and we get to step into them. And you know what? They're not always easy. Just like everything else that you love. They're not always easy. But these are practices that we can experience God's presence and bring him close to us. The disciplines of the Spirit that we've been talking about help us cultivate the experience of God's presence. To commune with the Father, to commune with Christ, to commune with the Holy Spirit is to know joy. It's how you're wired. It's how you're built. To dwell with God is to know and experience joy. And so today, I'm going to blitz through these. I'm just going to show you. Highlight again real quick. And I mean, we're going to run through these real quick. If you want to jot down some notes, you can. We're just going to look at what some of these spiritual disciplines were and how we are practicing God's presence by doing them. Let's look at the first one, Bible meditation. David brought that one up. Bible meditation, why do you guys think that we focused more on the Bible meditation side instead of the Bible reading? Normally when you hear spiritual disciplines, you hear that you're supposed to what? Your Bible. Read your Bible. Scott zeroed in, and I think really effectively, on the point isn't necessarily read, the point is what? Meditate. Why was that so significant? Why would we do that? Yeah, you can read just to read. That is not helpful. Anything else? Why else? Yeah, here is God's law. Like, your brain is to be active in this. Dwell on this. Like, Dave was saying, that was so helpful. Like, man, the point of my day is to, like, take God's word and, like, chew on it, right? Anything else? Yeah, so good, so good. I have this: meditating on the Word of God is essential and foundational because it is the primary way that God has revealed the beauty of who he is and the wonder of what he's doing in the world. You don't just read that. Like, you need to be shaped by that. I love Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. God's word is full of the beauty of his story, but our minds need to be meditating on that and being shaped by that. Look at the next one, prayer. We went on in our series into the next sermon on prayer. Why did we say that prayer is so special? Why is prayer so special? Yeah, that is such a great way to put that. It is intimacy between you and God. Why else is prayer so special? It's great. One more. Why is prayer so special? Yeah, that makes it real special. There should be nothing more natural for a child of God than prayer. Because you're talking with your dad. It's this open dialogue, intimacy between us and God our Father. It's also, I think, the expression that we need God, that we love God, and it's another place that we go to be with God. I love this quote by Paul Miller. We'll put this up here. What do I lose when I have a praying life? Listen to this. What do I lose when I have a praying life? You lose some things. You lose control. You lose independence. What do I gain? Friendship with God. A quiet heart. The living work of God in the hearts of those I love. The ability to roll back the tide of evil. Essentially, I lose my kingdom and I get his. I move from being an independent player to a dependent lover. I move from being an orphan to a child of God. Yes, it's prayer and why we practice it daily, monthly, yearly. We move from prayer onto fasting. We did a sermon on fasting. Can someone tell me, why is fasting so weird? Okay, it could certainly be viewed that way. Yeah, yeah. Why else? Why? What's that? Yeah, the thing that's actually the most normal for us to do. Like, I'm always saying, I'm hungry. Because I'm always hungry. And so it's so weird to deny the thing that our bodies are just wanting to do so badly. Eat. Be full. Fasting is a really interesting one. Fasting is like this combination of prayer and meditation together, where the child of God comes to a place where we ignore food to put our attention on the true bread, on the true bread of life. And I'm gonna set aside my desires of what I want most right now to actually spend time and put my attention on Jesus. And so the purpose could be either. Number one, you could do it to simply know and experience God more, or to bring a certain prayer request to God. But either way, whatever reason you're doing that fasting, the act of fasting, we acknowledge our need for his presence and to fill us and to satisfy us. Again, a regular rhythm. How are we going to put that in? Daily, maybe not monthly, I don't know, yearly, maybe. You're practicing God's presence in fasting. The next one was listening. Listening. I don't know if you remember the sermon on listening. I preached that one, so maybe you forgot that one already. Does anyone remember what we were listening for? Why did we put listening in the spiritual disciplines? What were we listening for? Well played. Who said the Spirit? You're correct. We're listening for the Spirit, we said. Anyone remember what he says? Before we answer what he says, we'll come back to that in just a second. Before we answer what he says, let's be sure that we actually remember why we actually said listening was a discipline. Because the Bible actually teaches that the Holy Spirit is the one that is leading, guiding, teaching, reminding, telling. These are all the words that are used for the Holy Spirit regularly. And so if he is promised to do all of the things in the life of God's family, what does he say? Were you going to answer that back there? I don't know if you remember that. Someone who was going to answer that? What does the Holy Spirit tell? What does he remind us, tell us, teach us about? Yeah, he's reminding us of what Jesus says. Right, the story of God, who we are inside of that story of God, and then what? What is our role in the story of God? You're like, the Holy Spirit's going to actually tell me all the things that I'm always wondering about? Crazy. Such a crazy thought. Yeah.
It's funny, those first four disciplines are so interconnected because you can't listen to the Spirit unless you first know what
That's great. Super helpful. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is actually given to us to guide, teach, tell, remind us of what is God's story, who we are in that story, and how we're to live out who we are in that story. If he's regularly talking to us about that, shouldn't we have a practice, a daily, monthly, yearly rhythm of doing what? Of listening to what he's saying. We moved from listening to a sermon on community. And by sermon, I mean, I think Scott did like four of these. On community. Let me ask you this. How does community keep God in front of us? How does it keep God close to us? How would you guys answer that? How does community keep God in front of us? Okay, keeps us accountable. That's good. Yeah. There will be who? Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, that's great. So good. Listen, God lives in us, and us, I mean. And so when we spend time together in our regular daily lives, living together as a family, we are actually experiencing God himself in each other. In case you're wondering why it's important for you to be together, and if you think you can live without community, you are missing the presence of God in each other. You need to feel the weight of that. That is why loneliness is a really bad gig. God uses our time together so we can find our place of belonging, purpose, and mission. We went from community and we went into serving. We've got just two left here, serving and rest. Let me ask you this about serving. I didn't know what question to ask you guys, but man, isn't it? Let me just say this real quick. Serving can be really hard. When someone needs something, oftentimes it can be really hard to go serve them. But here's my question. Why is it so rewarding and fulfilling when you actually do it? Anyone know what I'm talking about? When you actually go and do it, why is that so rewarding and fulfilling, do you think? That's a great reason. Why else? Why is serving so rewarding and fulfilling? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, service is love made tangible. Service is love made tangible. Serving others is often where we meet and we find Jesus as we're reminded of what and how much he has loved and served us. We experience Jesus in a beautiful way as we become his hands and his feet on the earth. I wonder why serving is so fulfilling and rewarding. You are actually being Jesus' hands and his feet. That's why it's so rewarding and fulfilling. That keeps you close to Jesus. And the last one was rest. Rest. So my question is, how does resting bring us into sweet communion with God? How does rest bring us into communion with God? How would you guys answer that? Good. Why else? Why would rest? Yep. They're all really good. Yeah, listen. Our culture is defined by rest. No, it's not. Everyone was like, really? I missed that commercial. That was a great silence, okay? People are like, what is happening?
Well, it's funny that you look at the story, and you look at what happens at the end of the story. God, heaven and earth meet, and we fully enjoy the presence of God, and what is in the presence of God completely at the end?
That's good.
Now, because the breath of God is in us, the Spirit, we actually can rest knowing that someday we will rest.
Yeah, that's good. Listen, our culture, with just how crazy things are, I mean, insanity. Yes, I'm speaking for me. Okay, and you. Listen, whether emotionally or physically, things are not restful. And we are a people constantly on the go, and I think our busyness can distract us from realizing who we really are. And so taking time to rest emotionally and physically connects us back to the presence of God, and it fuels us to live out the mission of God in our cities. Yeah, absolutely. That's
like,
so good.
Like Romans 4, he who works, he must be paid his wages, right?
Yep.
He blesses the man who has God's rest.
That's really good. Listen, we said earlier that we were made, the earth was made to be close to God, to be in his presence. Your body was made to be close to God, to commune with him, to enjoy being his neighbor. And so, listen, we're going to close with this. The question is not, will you practice the things that brings God's presence close, but how are you going to do that? What intentional practices are you going to do in order to cultivate joy for you and joy for your cities? So I'm going to close with two things. And you may want to jot a few of these things down. Okay? The first thing I want you to close with is maybe you're in the room this morning, you're like, you know what? I really want to start practicing that. Here's two things. Where do I start? Okay? Where do I start? If you're like, all right, I get it. Like, these are things that can bring God close, that will give me joy, and I can out of joy do them. Where do I start? Number one, maybe this will be helpful. Pick a rhythm or rhythms that accommodate your particular life at the moment. What? I thought we were supposed to be practicing these all the time. All of them, all the time, every day. Good luck with that. Where do I start? I would encourage you to start by actually looking at where you are. What season of life are you in? If you're pregnant and you're like, I'm gonna starve myself and fast for days, maybe you should think about your season. Okay? Where am I at in life that I could look at one, maybe two of these, and I could just start practicing that? Don't try all of them all the time. You'll stop quickly. Where am I in life? What season am I in? Find a practice that fits. Number two, create times. You know what? I'm going to add a second one in before my second one. Don't just realize what season of life that you're in and pick one. Think about who you are and how you're wired. I don't think anyone thinks about this enough. Okay, let me tell you. My wife's in the nursery. Love you, babe. Listen, The way my wife is wired, she needs an open field with lots of flowers and needs to sit down in the middle of that to find the nearness of God. She's built like that. You may be sitting here going, that lady's weird. You ain't wired like that. And so you know what? Her practicing some of these things is going to look different. She may actually take meditation into a place like that. Don't just realize where you are in life. Think about who you are and how you're wired. That will really, I think, breathe life into some of these disciplines for you. That's my number two. Number one, think about where you are in life. Number two, think about who you are. Now, number three, think about creating times to practice some of the disciplines in your community of faith. Here's what I mean by that. Don't do spiritual disciplines alone. You're like, what? I thought I was like supposed to be in a closet alone with no one else around. Sure, if you got a closet, great. That's good to do that sometimes. You need alone time to be able to talk and listen to God. But you know what? The community of faith is the best place to practice these things together. You're like, all right, Bible reading, Bible meditation. I wonder who is going to create the next Bible study for me to be at. Here's an idea. If you want to actually do this, you should call a friend over. Hey, what are you doing right now? I mean, crazy. Who would do that, right? Like, call each other over to read the Bible. But, like, you could, like, enter these rhythms into, like, the family of God. So, number one, where do I start? How do you jump into these? Number one, think about where you are in life. Think about, number two, who you are and how you're wired. And number three, think about the community that lives around you and how you can practice these with them, okay? So that's the first thing, where do I start? The second thing is, I just want to leave you with a few questions to ask while you're doing them. Because I think this is really important so that you don't just do them to do them. Here's three questions, if you want to jot them down, that could be helpful while you're doing a spiritual discipline practice. Here's some questions to ask. Question number one, why am I practicing this? That's a really good question, by the way. Why am I practicing this particular discipline? In other words, I could ask, how is this rooting me in the beautiful true story of God, my good Father? How is what I'm doing rooting me to his story? Number two, what is this doing for me? What is this doing for me? In other words, how am I being reminded of who I am in God's story? How am I being reminded of who I am inside of God's story? And then question number three, and we're done. This is a crazy question. Who asks this question when you're doing a spiritual discipline? Who is this for? You're going to be like, well, me. If it's just you, you got something wrong. Who is this for? In other words, is this helping me to enjoy God myself and then share his beauty and wonder with the broken people that are all around me? Are those maybe some helpful questions you could ask while you're practicing these things? Listen, I'm going to have them throw up our definition of spiritual disciplines. And then we're going to close. We're just going to read it. We said from the very beginning of the series, and this is our close, spiritual disciplines are those intentional practices that help us orient our lives together around the gospel for the joy, for our joy, and for the joy of our cities. I hope it's been a really encouraging series for us. It has been for me. And what are we doing when we're doing spiritual disciplines? We are practicing, let's say it together, we are practicing the presence of God. When we're doing these spiritual disciplines, what are we doing? We are practicing the presence of God. I'm going to have Russell come close out our gathering, and we're going to go home.